The following talk was given by Father John Hardin, July 15th through 19th, 1998, Retreat for Men, The Holy Spirit and the Third Millennium.
First of all, my gratitude for your coming to this retreat. You are especially my prayers and have been your retreatants every single day of my life. I thought I would first make a few preliminary observations. Father Brown, as some of you know, has been assisting me with these retreats. He is available for confessions, available for conferences, and as I've said so many times, to make a good retreat, you must make a good confession. The list for the times for having private conferences, sign up. Father Brown and I are working together. As you also know, a retreat is to be made in silence. And, as I keep repeating, my favorite definition of silence is selective conversation. Talking with our Lord instead of with another human being. During the retreat, pray. And pray especially in thinking. Think about God. Think about the things of God. And I never try repeating, write. That's spelled W-R-I-T, followed by an exclamation mark. Writing helps us to think. I don't mean just think clearly, but to think. Write. And a retreat, as again we've said so often, is not only or even mainly for our own spiritual benefit. The purpose of a retreat is to prepare us and make us more effective in sharing our faith with others. In other words, a good retreat is apostolic. Reaching out to others, always beginning with the members of your own family, those with whom you live, with whom you work, and whom God has put in your lives precisely for this reason, to be a channel of grace to them. I counted the number of conferences, which I prefer to call meditations. I count 14, beginning with this evening's conference, during the retreat. A good retreat should be a time of thinking and praying, but also of making not just decisions with the mind, but of resolutions with the will. Promise our Lord, and the fruit of this retreat, to be more generous in serving Him, more generous in reaching out to others, and especially more patient. Because without patience, there is no sanctity. Now the theme of the retreat. And it will be the Holy Spirit. And our opening meditation will be the Holy Spirit and the Third Millennium. Our Holy Father, anticipating the third millennium. Mind you, this is not just another century. It is another 1,000 years. We begin in a very short time. And this year, Holy Father specially dedicates to the Holy Spirit and the Vicar of Christ's purpose, as we know, is that we should prepare ourselves for what the Pope trusts and sincerely hopes will be the most wonderful, the most apostolic, the most holy century in human history, the 21st century. We ask, why? Why does the Vicar of Christ expect the 21st century as the beginning of the third millennium to be the most grace-laden century, not just in Christian, but in human history? For two reasons. Because in no century in the history of the world has there been more suffering, more agony, more pain than in the century we are just near completing. I never tire repeating, more wars have been fought with more death casualties since 1900 than all the centuries of human history put together. More nations have been dismembered. More millions living in exile. More murders of unborn children since 1900 than all the centuries of human history from the birth of the human race up to 1900. And not only have there been more devastating murders of innocent unborn children in our century, but all the centuries from the dawn of human history up to 1900, but much, much more serious, one once civilized nation after another, now, formally, explicitly, clearly, I don't say merely legalizes abortion, I dare say legislates the murder of innocent unborn children and the widespread murder of the aging and the sick, who would then be a burden, financial burden, on society. March 25th of this year, I received Richard Thompson into the church. And as some of you may know, he was the county prosecutor who prosecuted Dr. Kevorkian, Dr. Depp. As you would expect, unsuccessfully. Shortly after Kevorkian was acquitted of his murders of innocent people, Thompson called me up and said, I never met the man. Can I come over? He came over. I wanted to become a Catholic. The only authority on earth, in my judgment, that still defends innocent human life is the Catholic Church. Baptized and received into the Church, and he chose the Feast of the Annunciation. Why then does the Holy Father expect the 21st century and the third millennium to be the most God-given and blessed with grace period in human history? First, because of the suffering that millions not only have undergone, are undergoing. And the most searing pain, believe me, is not in the body. It is in the soul. How well I know, and I keep repeating, now my 31st year in working for the Holy See, one diocese after another, people call, they write, they fax. What do they do when the priest changes the words of consecration? What do we do when the bishop of our diocese openly not just defends but promotes homosexuality? The agonizing pain of believing Catholics in the century that we are closing. In God's mysterious providence, suffering is, I repeat, mysterious providence, the precondition for extraordinary blessings. But Holy Father especially appeals to St. Paul, the unforgettable passage in the Apostles, we call him, where sin has abounded, their grace even more abound. No question, the most sin-laden century in human history, we are now closing. Grace, therefore, grace from God will be superabundant in the century that we are awaiting. But listen, grace is a gift from God. Grace is that which we need in order to reach the destiny for which we were made. But we are not Protestants, we are Roman Catholics. Having taught, as I've told some of you so many times, in 6 Protestant seminaries, including 7 years, Lutheran School of Theology here in Chicago, we Catholics believe in the free will. And we further believe that God's grace is an invitation to man's free will. Grace will undoubtedly abound as it has never abounded in human history. the level called for correspondingly superabundant generosity on our part to correspond with that grace. We believe, as Catholics, in predestination. But we also believe that this predestination is not absolute, it is conditional. In other words, our destiny in the will of God is to reach heaven. We shall not reach heaven just because we have received the grace. And other people, poor dears, will not reach heaven because they have not received grace. That is not just a lie. That is heresy. We have a free will, and this retreat is on one subject. On our free will cooperating with the will of God. The grace, I repeat, will be, and already is, superabundant, but the response on our part should be correspondingly superabundant. I never tire repeating to one audience after another. Ordinary bishops will not survive, not in the present world. Ordinary priests will not survive. Ordinary villagers will not survive. Ordinary fathers and mothers will not survive. Not today. Ordinary single people, the young people, even the children will not survive. I'll never forget. June 24th, 1950. To my graduate studies as a priest in Rome, had the privilege of working with the Vatican Radio. On the 24th of June, 1950, Maria Goretti was canonized as saint. Remember? Allowed herself to be stabbed to death rather than give in to a rapist. After the canonization, Pius XII gave a most unusual homily to the largest gathering of people at any canonization in the Church's history. The lowest estimate was 800,000 people. Not just fill St. Peter's Square, as far as the eye could reach, all the way to the Tiber and beyond. And normally, after a canonization, the Pope would read in Latin a short homily about the person he had just canonized. Well, this time, Pius XII, no text, spoke from his heart for about 40 minutes. Mind you, that was 1950. And he predicted the last half of the 20th century, there'll be the 50 years when the evil spirit will be most seductive in using sex to deprive millions of Catholics of their faith. How prophetic can you be? The evil spirit has been demonically effective. We've lost in our United States 90% of all Catholic seminarians. We've lost 85% of all Catholic schools. We've lost the exact figure of the Vatican on our beliefs. About 10,000 priests leading the active priesthood since the close of the Second Vatican Council. Two dioceses alone, I never tire repeating, Chicago and Detroit, between them, in 3 years, closed 104 parishes. Oh, how effective the evil spirit has been. And there is no way that we human beings can cope with this demonic power that God, in his mysterious providence, has allowed to be released in our century. Only the Holy Spirit, what word shall I use, is a match for the evil spirit. And we go through the Gospels, especially the Gospel of St. Luke, which I commend to your reading during these days. All the evangelists have certain, call them, names conferred by the church over the centuries. St. Luke is identified as the evangelist of the Holy Spirit. It is St. Luke who describes what the Annunciation, the angel told Our Lady, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and therefore the child you will conceive and give birth to will be the Son of God. It is St. Luke, in his Gospel, who tells Christ's prediction of sending the Holy Spirit. It is St. Luke, the author of the Acts of the Apostles, who describes at length the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday. The evangelist to read and meditate on during these days of the retreat is St. Luke in his Gospel and the Acts of the Apostles. As the Church teaches, Christ, the living God who became man, stayed on earth only a very short time, not just living a hidden life, but a life in hiding for 30 years. Had you known Herod would have killed the Christ child, had the Holy Spirit not inspired St. Joseph to get married and the Christ child and fly to Egypt. Christ is in hiding for 30 years. Then during his public ministry, he survived for less than 3 years. I would like to repeat this. On Holy Thursday night, the devil, evil spirit, entered the heart of Judas. And Judas then went out to prepare for betraying his master. Oh, how we need, dear God, how we need, we believing Catholics need to compete with the apostates. The apostates in our century today. Over the centuries, from Judas on, the worst enemies of Christianity have been apostate bishops, apostate priests, apostate religious, and apostate lay people. How well I know. These apostates, shall we say, inspired by the evil spirits, must be not only competed with, but overcome by, please God, men like yourselves, inspired by the Holy Spirit to profess Christ, and as you'll keep repeating during this week, and pay the price of your courage. As St. Luke describes, both in the closing of his Gospel and the opening of his Acts of the Apostles, Jesus foretold that he would ascend to the Heavenly Father. They would send power, power from on high, power on his followers. And over the centuries, the Church has always identified the Holy Spirit as the power that Christ sent on Pentecost. And I've said over the years, a good teacher is one who repeats without boring. How repeat? Christ told his disciples, and that included both men and women, as I told the ladies in the retreat we finished yesterday. And among those awaiting the coming of the Holy Spirit was Our Lady. And Christ's promise was, I will send you power. She will be not just my witnesses. I never tire repeating, you'll be my martyrs. In Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. A subtitle for this retreat. It is a retreat on martyrdom. Believe me, I am not a pious kook. I'm not just using nice language. Never in the history of the papacy, in my job teaching theology for so many years, had been to know the vicars of Christ. I know of no pope in history who has both spoken and written more extensively, more candidly, about the need for martyrs in the Church today than Pope John Paul II. And there have been at least 10 attempted assassinations of the present vicar of Christ. And you fathers, you know how hard it is to raise a Catholic family in these days.